We're joined in studio by the author of a wonderful new book, An Irish Immigrant Story. Jack Cashman joins us. Jack, great to have you here with us.
Great to be here.
What made you decide it was time to be a writer?
Well, you know, it's something I always wanted to do. I never had time. I had a family to feed and mortgages to pay and the like. And so I never found time to do it. I started a book way back when I first got out of college. I never finished it. Now that I have more time, I just wanted to do it. So I started with An Irish Immigrant Story because both my parents, their ancestors came over during the famine. We have some history in the family, especially on the Cashman side, of what happened to that family during the famine. And my mother was a Grady, so I get it on both sides. And I actually use names in the book from my ancestry. John H. McCarthy in the book is actually John H. Cashman. I juxtapose the names.
Okay.
Joanna Cashman is Joanna McCarthy. That's my great-great-grandma.
Now, what about Connor? Is he a real person?
No.
No.
No. No.
I wish he was, because he's great.
He's a hero. Isn't
yeah.
He? A lot of it is actual, factual. All of the John L. Sullivan stuff is factual. A lot of the Irish history about the famine and about their drive for independence, that's researched actual history. I stuck Cashmans in there, maybe where they didn't belong, but to make the story interesting. But a lot of the talk about the McCarthy family is actually my own Cashman family history. And I threw a Peter Grady in there, who is my mother's grandfather, who came over during the famine.
And you slipped in a Pat McGowan.
Slip in a Pat McGowan. You know, it's funny because he called me. He's reading the book. He called me up and he says, I have got a bone to pick with you. I said, why? And he says, you killed me off on page 95. I said, yeah, but as opposed to yourself, I made the character successful.
I like that. Well, one of the things that obviously you've done the research and you've been a student of history and a lover of history for a while, but it comes through in this. And I love the way that you mix fictional characters with people like John L. Sullivan, Michael Collins, and others. And man, it really makes that time come to life.
Well, John L. Sullivan had connections with Irish-American immigrants who had been successful. And I wanted to make the connection with my main character, which was John McCarthy, and the more wealthy Irish immigrants who sent money back to Ireland to help with the cause. And John L. Sullivan made that connection. But as I got into reading about John L. Sullivan, he's such an interesting character. And as I say in the book, he's the first American sports hero with an international reputation, the first one to earn $1 million at his craft, which he did. He died penniless, but he did make $1 million. And I sent a copy of the book to the mayor of Boston because it's ironic that we have statues in Boston of great sports figures like Red Auerbach and Ted Williams, Ted Williams was my first hero after my father. So I'm not objecting to those statues. But there's nothing in Boston that would let you know John L. Sullivan came from Boston.
You mentioned the famine, and for anybody who just sees it in a history book, I don't think they can visualize what it is. And it's, oh, okay, so the potato crop went bad. No, it was so much more than that. As the descriptions in the book of people dying in the streets and what it was like, and then you realize that it was so bad it drove people to leave their home. And I don't think people in the 21st century really have a good understanding of how difficult that was.
No, I over 1 million people starved to death. About 1.5 million people left. And many of the people that left died in what they called coffin ships at the time. Mm. Because they really didn't have any money for passage. I mean, it's not like they were sailing first class here. So it was a terrible time for the Irish. You know, we should never forget the Holocaust, and its history is, I think, better known by the average person than the famine. But over 1 million people starving to death is a terrible, terrible historical tragedy that I don't think gets as much play as it should.
And the book also talks about the tough times the Irish faced here in America, and that wasn't confined simply to Boston. Right here in Bangor in the 1830s, five people were killed in anti-Irish riots.
Oh, yeah, and the stories in there in the book about the original John McCarthy, who died in a car accident. That would be my great-great-grandfather, John Cashman, who did die in a cart accident.
Yeah, which, and by the way, you mentioned that, and I marked that page. I dog-eared it because you broke my heart on page 73 when that happened.
Well, that's true. That is accurate.
Oh,
that's
wow.
True. And
his wife was pregnant at the time?
His wife was pregnant from my great-grandfather.
Wow.
And the story about him going for a job interview and the gentleman he was talking to about the job calling the crew out and then insulting him and saying, you can't read the sign, you know, you thick Mick. It says no dogs, no pigs, no Irish.
Mm.
That's true.
We're talking with Jack Cashman. His book is entitled An Irish Immigrant Story. Also a repeated theme in the book is the importance of the church. It's the Immaculate Conception Church in the book. And can you talk a little bit about the role the church played in the lives of the Irish who came to America?
I was actually baptized in the Immaculate Conception
really?
Church in Salem, Massachusetts,
wow.
As was my father. As was his father, and when Irish came over, it was very difficult to find a job. And in many cases, the jobs that they did get, they got through the church. The housing jobs that they got through the church. Parish priests would know someone who was looking for a nanny, or someone who needed somebody to clean their house, or somebody who needed, like in the case of my great-grandfather, he got a job. His original job was dunging out the stables for the city of Salem. Those jobs were, the priest would, in many of the churches, would try to find employment for the Irish immigrants.
You have got an event coming up tomorrow night, too. We want to let people know about it. You'll be down at the Briar Patch at 7 o'clock tomorrow night signing the book, right?
Yes, I will. It's the first book signing for me. So it's a new experience. I'm looking forward to it. That's a great little store, the Briar Patch.
Oh, it sure is.
Anybody that's never been in there should go there, whether they come to this or not. But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's such a great story because so many of us here in Maine, especially, I know I have Irish roots. Many of us have that in our family's history. And as you point out, these were the people that built America, but also built Ireland as we know it in many ways.
Well, they sent a lot of money back. There were people like Connor who fought, who went over from America to fight. And interestingly, the first help that came to the famine victims came from America, and it didn't come from Britain. Britain's response to the famine is disgusting, really, and I try to get into that a bit in the book. But if you want to pursue that further, I mentioned this in the foreword, that there is a book was written called Paddy's Lament, P-A-D-D-Y, Paddy's Lament, and it's all about the famine, and it gives all the details, which are shocking, really.
You managed to get a pretty high-profile guy to do the foreword to the book,
a
man who knows a little bit about that part of the world.
I did, and, if... The settlement that finally ended the revolution over there split off the six counties in the north, which a lot of people at the time, patriots at the time, were quite upset about. Mm. And fighting went on up there, as everybody knows, for years and years, and was finally settled by George Mitchell. And I sent George a copy of the book when it came out, and I signed it and said to the brightest person I have ever known, and I mean every word of it. He's an incredibly intelligent man, and I was very thankful he wrote the foreword for me.
Well, it's wonderful. And now I hear from my sources, okay, it's your son, that you're already well on the way through writing a second book?
Well, it's in, actually, they just finished the first edit. These things are very... Oh, it's very tedious. They edit your manuscript. They send it to you. You edit their edits. You send it back. They edit your edits. They send it back. It goes, I've read the book in front of you. I've read that at least 12 times.
Wow.
In spite of, in addition to writing it, I've read it 12 times. And that's the process you go through. But it's the second book has gone through the first edits, and I'm reviewing them now. So That'll probably be out, if not later this year, the first of next year.
That's fantastic. The book is An Irish Immigrant Story. It is a wonderful read from Jack Cashman. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Briar Patch in downtown Bangor, Jack will be signing copies of the book. I really enjoyed this so much, and it's great to have you come in and talk about it.
Always nice seeing you, my friend.